Coming up next on a brand new Daddy on Board 109, I've got stories for you about a man who sued his wife over their ugly baby, and he won. A new miracle Band-Aid, and helping your kids cope with natural disasters and the inevitable fallout of them losing the belts back to Money Incorporated. All that and more right around the corner on a brand new Dob. Welcome, parents, expectant and new, experienced and exhausted. This is a parenting podcast produced by me, Mike Quackenbush, for you, my loyal Dob Bobbers. If you are new to the show, I am your host, a parent, professional wrestler, and podcaster, all with varying degrees of success, and I have combed the interwebs and the blogosphere to bring you a batch of stories relevant to the child-rearing experience. This week's program is made possible through the generous support of Cobra Electronics, makers of the Cobra Vedetta Ultimate Detection System. It's designed to maximize driver comfort, safety, and situational awareness of your entire driving environment. This reduces the risk of accidents and traffic violations. It makes you safer and more alert, as well as all the people traveling with you and all the others on the road with you as well. Head over to Cobra.com to find out more about our awesome show sponsors. All right, let's dive into it. And I'm not going to bury the lead too deep because I know you all want to hear about that guy that sued about the ugly baby. But this is a really important piece that was sent in to me by loyal Dob Bobber Chad Ingalls. He found a piece online written by a mother who'd given birth to a daughter that had Down syndrome. And while I don't do my part to raise awareness by putting a Puzzle Piece bumper sticker on my car, I'm going to do my bit to raise some awareness about autism and Down syndrome and everything else related to that by telling you a little bit about this piece from a new mother who was experiencing it all for the very first time, and some of the realizations that she came to that also helped dispel some of her preconceptions and maybe even some stereotypes that are out there. What I liked about this piece was the way they kind of broke it down from a variety of different viewpoints. And one of the things that came out right at the very top of the article that I think is critical to understanding all this is that Down syndrome does not define a person. It simply refers to the physiological makeup of an individual's cells. You know, babies with Down syndrome, they cry, they smile, they roll over, they need lots of love just like any other baby does. And it's important to know that this can happen to anyone. Down syndrome is not caused by any action of either parent before or during the pregnancy, and that's totally contrary to what I thought. I thought it had to do with high fructose corn syrup, trans fats, and omega-3. Apparently, that's not true at all. I don't know where I got that information from. This is a naturally occurring chromosomal abnormality. It's caused by an error during cell division, not long division, because I'm terrible at that. Down syndrome occurs in people of all races, all ages, all economic levels, all over the globe. And babies with Down syndrome grow up to look just like you. They look like anybody else, as do the babies, in particular because they possess all the genetic material from their parents' cells. So they're going to inherit your physical characteristics. They're going to look like other members of their family. They look like their siblings. They look like their mommies and daddies. They, of course, have the same emotions. There seems to be a stereotype out there that babies with Down syndrome seem to be perpetually happy, and that's simply not true. They experience a wide range of emotions, just like anybody else does. And these children, those that have Down syndrome, are accepted and loved by their families and by their friends. Most of the limiting perceptions about Down syndrome that exist in society are due to a lack of education and understanding. It's important to kindly raise awareness about Down syndrome in our society and create a more accepting environment. I think that's something we can all get behind, right? You know, every child has special needs, whether they have Down syndrome or not. In parenting, we learn that every child is different. They learn differently, they achieve milestones at different paces. Every child has special needs regardless of their chromosomal makeup. And all of these milestones should be celebrated, and at times all of our children need a little extra help. Some worry perhaps that children with Down syndrome do not have meaningful relationships with their siblings, for example, and that's simply not true. In addition to which, these children are eager to learn. Like any other child, they are inquisitive. They have a desire to learn about the world. And they learn by being exposed to knowledge, by experiencing their environment. Children with Down syndrome, they like to learn to read, to speak, to sing. They want to play t-ball, take ballet or dance class. They want to make art. They want to be out with their friends playing and having a good time like any other child. Children with Down syndrome have very bright futures due to early intervention, awareness campaigns, and the efforts of thousands of people who are working to create a more accepting environment for them. Many individuals with Down syndrome grow up to go to college, they live on their own, they get married, and they have fulfilling adult lives. Families of children with Down syndrome want people to recognize their children and their infinite abilities, not just the fact that they happen to have an extra chromosome. I thought that was very well put together, and thanks to Chad Ingalls for sending that piece in. I wanted to share that with everybody as it relates to the experience of a brand new parent out there learning all about the world of Down syndrome thanks to the birth of her daughter. All right, if you haven't heard this story, I'm delighted to bring it to you. Have you heard of Jian Feng? Of course you have. He's that guy from northern China that's like ridiculously handsome, right? You know who I'm talking about. Well, as it turns out, the woman that he married before they ever met had about $100,000 in plastic surgery because, by her own admission, she used to be ugly. Well, these two got married and then had a baby, and you know what? The baby turned out to be ugly. This was outrageous to Jian Feng, and why wouldn't it be? He's so handsome, that guy. And so he felt that the baby could not possibly be his. He raised all kinds of questions about whose baby it was, and finally his wife confessed that prior to their meeting, she used to be ugly, but had lots of plastic surgery to fix it. So disheartened by this baby, and feeling that he was deceived by his wife, Jian Feng sued his wife over the ugly baby. And China, you are right out there in front, right? You are the emerging world power, setting the trend. You know what? A judge in China ruled in his favor and awarded him $120,000 in damages for the delivery of the ugly baby. Is there any more to that story? No, that's the whole story. He sued over the ugly baby, and he won. He was paid $120,000 for the ugly baby. And that's it. There's no follow-up. There's no other, like, oh, and then this happened too. That's it. This was covered by a number of different news sources, and there's no other anything out there. So, yeah. That is the complete story. There you go. Take it away. Okay, a quick story for you here about the links between ADHD drugs and cigarette smoking, which is interesting in a weird way that you probably aren't going to expect here. A recent report that made the rounds big time this past week sort of shed some light on the idea that the typical prescription drugs for ADHD treatment, which are types of stimulants, may actually decrease the likelihood of teens that take them turning into smokers. In this new study, they studied 154 adolescents that were taking Concerta for up to 2 years. And on average, they found that only 7% of these teens or preteens ended up becoming smokers. This is lower than the average, about 20% in a comparison group made by the same group, but on adolescents that have ADHD but were not taking stimulants. So whether or not there's a direct link there or not, some people are kind of refuting whether or not that's the case. Dr. Paul Hammernis of Harvard Medical School, which apparently is an important place, said, the idea of whether treatment for ADHD affects the risk for other conditions is a really interesting thing. There is a lot of back and forth, he said, on the point. He feels like the evidence is weak and that this is still a very hazy subject. Now, this is the interesting part about this article that I wanted to share with you. Not that that other information isn't interesting in and of itself. But as part of this study, I guess they considered data about experiments done on rats that show that giving the rats stimulants whets their appetite to later become cocaine users. There have been mixed findings about this link in humans. What I thought was interesting was that someone is studying what makes rats want cocaine. Like, who is studying this? Who needs that information? You know, I don't know that the rat's really been primed right for a coke addiction. Let's put some other meds in there, too, and see what happens. This is going to come up a little bit later again. Government, stop funding cocaine addiction research in rats and build a weather dominator so that you can laser zap hurricanes out of the sky or whatever has to be done, right? You see the clouds or it's done with ions, I think. I know this can be done. Could you use my tax dollars on that, please? I don't care about the rats and the cocaine. I have no interest in that at all. Well, since we're on the topic of the weather, here's something I want to crowdsource to you, loyal Dob Bobbers. I want to hear what you have to say about this, especially if you recently gave birth, especially those people. There is an idea out there, I guess you could say, that the delivery of babies during a natural disaster or after, like, you know, a huge storm like we just had, that number spikes in the 24 hours after a storm. Dr. Jennifer Ashton, an obstetrician in Englewood, New Jersey, had this to say on the matter, quote, "After delivering over 1,000 babies as an obstetrician, I can tell you that most OBs have heard the saying that storms and full moons often mean a busier day or night at labor and delivery. The theory is that a drop in barometric pressure is associated with the rupturing of the membranes of the amniotic sac, causing a pregnant woman to break her water," end quote. This is news to me. I've never heard of this before, but I'm not an obstetrician. There is virtually no hard scientific evidence behind this whatsoever. However, Dr. Ashton points out that one retrospective study that was published in a midwifery journal, reports a significant increase in the delivery of babies in the 24 hours after a storm compared with before a storm. Ashton goes on to say this, quote, "The link between weather and lunar cycles extends beyond childbirth. There are associations between migraines or other headaches and musculoskeletal pain," end quote. Now, on the flip side of this equation, Dr. Jacques Moritz, the director of the Division of Gynecology at St. Luke's Roosevelt Hospital in Manhattan, debunks this theory as being myth. He says, quote, "Mammals in general have stress hormones that prevent them going into labor. Generally, they don't have babies when there is stress outside," end quote. So, were you or your partner pregnant, and then all of a sudden a natural disaster hit and you decided to drop that baby? I want to hear your story. Will you write to me about it on Facebook, over on our fan page, or drop it off on Google+? Or if your story is only about 140 characters or less, you can tweet it to me. Or if need be, you could use multiple tweets. I want to hear your "I gave birth during Sandy" story. Send them on over. I'll probably read them next week on the show. You know, I don't think this is a breaking news story, but people are dumb everywhere. That includes Austin, Texas. The American Statesman covered this story about Nicholas, a 9-year-old who does pretty much what other little boys do, including building a fort. The problem is, he lives in a townhome community that's overseen by a homeowners association, and he built a fort in his front yard between two shrubs. Now he, or his family anyway, his mother, has been advised of the fact that this violates the rules of the Homeowners Association. The Summerwood Homeowners Association wants the fort taken down. However, Nicholas's mom, Ramona, is refusing to take it down. She wants to stand by her son. She says that she's learned a lesson and wants to teach it to her son to stand up for something when people are being unreasonable. Now, I can certainly understand the idea that, you want to foster your child's creative urges and things like that. But unfortunately, when you live in a townhome community, and I've lived in more than one in my day, these things are, generally speaking, regulated or perhaps overregulated by busybodies who have very little else to do with themselves but worry about what you are up to. And unfortunately, when you move into these communities and you agree to be part of that community, you are making yourself subject to the regulations and guidelines that they put forth. So if, you know, you wanted to go about doing something like this, allowing your child unfettered access to the property and things like that, a townhome community overseen by a homeowners association is not a good choice for you. Now, I can certainly understand the initiative here to want to try this case in the court of public opinion and hope that people will rally behind a 9-year-old boy that just wants to keep his fort, right? There's a certain nobility behind that concept. But I have to admit, in this particular instance, despite the way things seem to be put together in the story that I read, the mother-son team here are actually in the wrong. You probably are going to have to move somewhere else if you want to build a fort in your front yard. And I have to admit that based on the way this is put forth here, that the Homeowners Association, sadly, is entirely in the right. I'm all for, like, hey, let's fight the establishment and that kind of stuff. but you knew what you were getting into when you signed up for this. Or if you didn't take the time to read it over before you did sign it, you're kind of dumb. So every once and again, we get a story like this here at Daddy on Board about, you know, like a homeowners association that's taking umbrage with what a kid's doing. Like before, it was like a kid drawing on the sidewalk, which I have to admit that seems pretty harmless. But building a fort in your front yard, yeah, I can see why they're going to have a problem with that. That's considered a common area. The people on the Homeowners Association board pointed out that she did not file the right kind of paperwork for the variance to allow for this to happen. She didn't go about it in the right way, and now she wants them to change the policies to suit her. Well, I don't know that I get behind that idea at all. I think, Ramona, you screwed it up, and you can't hide behind your kid any longer. Take down that stupid fort. That's what I think about that. What does it mean when the Halloween decorations go away and the gingerbread lattes show up on the menu at Starbucks? Only one thing. The inevitability of the holiday gift-giving season. It starts a little earlier every year, and it started November 1st, 1 minute past midnight this year. So you're wondering, you've got that gadget-loving dad on your list, you don't know what to get him. You've got that hard-to-buy-for guy. Well, let me get you started on the right foot. Head over to see our exclusive show sponsors, Cobra.com, and on that left-hand navigation, scroll down until you see a section called Specials, where right now there are 30 different items on deep discount. Some are even being offered buy one, get one free. Rarely do they have this number of items reduced so drastically in price for you, including their most popular ones like the Cobra Tag two-way locator system. That comes with a Cobra Tag locator that you attach to any item you want to protect, whatever it might be. You could put it on your briefcase, on your attaché, on your laptop bag. You could put it on your pet's collar if you wanted to. And then it pairs with the free app on your smartphone so that if you were to ever misplace it, you could use it to locate it, or if it's so far out of range that you couldn't hear it ringing, it'll draw you a map to where your Cobra Tag protected item is. Tons of radar detectors, like the award-winning iRadar system that you've heard me talk about, is available on deep discount. I think they marked it down something like $100 right now if you want to go and pick that up as a great gift for someone. When you buy one, get one free, you get a gift for yourself, too. You can't possibly beat that. All kinds of great things like mounts in your car for smartphones or iPods, chargers. Everything you can think of when it comes to awesome gizmos and gadgets for the gadget-loving man in your life, right now, on deep discount or buy one, get one free offers. Go ahead and browse over the 30 items that they've put up in the special section on Cobra.com. A gift idea is bound to spring out at you. I give you my assurance. It's really only thanks to great sponsors like Cobra that we here at the Grizzly Productions Network are able to deliver all the content to you free of charge, week in and week out that we do, including this program, Daddy on Board. We've had a great relationship with them all throughout 2012, and I look forward to continuing that in 2013. I have asked them, however, to expand their product line to include the oft-discussed Weather Dominator that was originally introduced, I think, in the first G.I. Joe miniseries back in 1983. I know Cobra has the resources to make this thing, and I would very much like to not suffer through anything like Sandy again. I'm sure you feel the same way, as I know tons of people out there are still without power or other simple life necessities as a result of this horrific storm. You might be wondering how this impacts children. Well, naturally, kids fear what they don't understand. And I thought the lifeofdad.com blog did a great job of sort of charting for you ways in which to allay kids' fears and help them through the inevitability of natural disasters, right? They could strike anywhere on the planet. Until, of course, we build that subterranean city where we're all going to escape to. Some tips straight from the blog for you. First and foremost, it's important to assure your children that they are safe. And while we can never absolutely guarantee the safety of our children, it's not essential that they know that. If anything, comforting them and making certain that they feel wrapped in an emotional comfort blanket of sorts by your answers is really, really key to allaying their fears and helping them to avoid any anxiety or becoming upset about this. It's important that when you're explaining the events to them, what's going on, what might happen, that you stay calm. Don't allow your expression or your tone to betray your fear to them. It's important, if anything, in these things, that you be comforting to the child, not further raising their alarm. You should encourage their questions. That way you can help them work out their thought process with you. And if they're asking something that you don't have an answer to, go to an information resource, whether it be a friend, doctor, local meteorologist, whatever the case might be, so you can get them real information. Remember that not only are you a source of information for your child, but their protector as well. And so you want to be very careful because, you know, mass media outlets like the Weather Channel, for example, love to sensationalize these things because rarely is weather exciting. And they make it seem much more doomy and gloomy than things really are. And you need to protect them from that type of hype that's out there. You shouldn't be afraid to explain to your kids how nature works, though, because while this, something like Sandy could be a very terrifying thing, nature is beautiful as well. And you certainly don't want your child to think that Mother Nature is out to get them, despite the preponderance of poison ivy everywhere you go hiking. It's important that they understand how things like earthquakes and tremors or hurricanes and tropical storms work. And how we endure and survive when these natural disasters occur. And last but not least, LifeofDad.com recommends that you help your children to help others by picking a charity from, you know, the Red Cross or Doctors Without Borders or something like that, that they might give a portion of their allowance to or otherwise help raise money for, so that they feel as if they can be proactive in the way that they respond to these kinds of things. Helping your children work through their own fears as it relates to natural disasters and changes in the weather is a great test of parenthood. And I thought they did a really great job of summarizing all these things over on lifeofdad.com. I don't mind plugging those guys. They do good stuff over there. One last thing I want to share with you comes from the blogosphere over on Stroller Derby, a great parenting blog that I love to rip off content from. Madeline Holler posted this, if I hadn't read this anywhere else, about a brand new kind of Band-Aid. Now, in my house, the most popular Band-Aids are the ones with characters on it, like Lightning McQueen from the Cars movie, or Batman. That's not the problem. Getting the Band-Aid selected, putting the Band-Aid on, that's never the issue. The issue is taking the Band-Aid off. Well, wouldn't you be interested to know that recently unveiled in the journal Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences is a new kind of Band-Aid that removes without causing any pain to its wearer. This is a new kind of bandage. It sticks on the skin, but it comes off very, very easily. I just want to put out there again, could we get these journals like the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences to just kind of unite into one thing, and we just call it journal, and you put all your stuff there, okay? Who's reading all these journals? Like, where would you go to get these? Like, who has the time? Madeline Holler, I guess it's Stroller Derby is the answer to that one. But, this new Band-Aid comes off very, very easily. It just leaves a little bit of gunk behind that you can rub off without much trouble. This is going to be considered a major game changer in the field of adhesive bandages. And this is one of the upsides to this, other than, you know, of course, now our kids will be even wimpier. I didn't realize this was even an issue, that hospitals have been looking for something like this when treating elderly patients that have weak skin, which could be easily torn. In the event that a bandage was, that has a lot of adhesive on it, would be pulled on. I didn't even realize that that was a thing, that you could rip people's skin off while taking a Band-Aid off. I guess so. I guess that's a real thing. There is no release date, no street date yet for when this new bandage is going to be available in stores. But apparently it is on the way. There was a recent article apparently in Time magazine that went into greater detail behind the chemistry and the physics of this brand new bandage wonder. Certainly it'll be interesting to see if the leader in that industry, Band-Aids, so ubiquitous, of course, that that's what we refer to the bandages as now. We all just call them Band-Aids, even though it's a brand name. Whether or not they will be jumping on this bandwagon or whether this will be an independent product. Either way, interested to know. Far fewer tears to be shed in households like mine when Band-Aid ripping off time comes around. All right, I'd like to round out today's episode with your little victories sent in to me via Google+, our Facebook fan page, or tweeted over to me at The Daddy On Board. Make sure to include the definitive article, the, when you tweet me. And you can use hashtag little victories. It makes it easy to find, or it makes it easy for my henchmen to find. Jeff Hatfield, who is no doubt the great uncle of Chikara great Dasher Hatfield, wrote to me with this. Years ago, we took our young daughter to one of those medieval theme parks. Is that like a Renaissance fair? Is that what you're thinking of there, Jeff? A medieval theme park. Or maybe like Medieval Times is maybe what you're thinking of, like that restaurant chain. Anyway, it was Pirate Day and she wanted a pirate outfit. We agreed if she would wear it on Halloween. She refused as we got closer to Halloween. She wanted to be a dinosaur hunter from the future. Oh, like Turok. After careful thought, I said, you know, in the old days, pirates hunted dinosaurs, which, Jeff, is true. She agreed to wear the outfit, but would get mad when people would say, oh, what a cute pirate. She would respond, no, I'm a dinosaur hunter from the future. And they'd say, okay. But she still got candy, and I didn't waste $35 on that costume. Win-win. Agreed, Jeff, and well done. Thanks for sharing your little Halloween victory, and we've got a few more along those lines. Ryan Thompson, who dropped by the Facebook fan page, said this. Got my son to wear the same costume 2 straight years. More money in my pocket. Well done, Ryan. I want to say this about Halloween costumes, though. If the amount of wear and tear my son's Batman costume from last year took was any indication, or even the amount of wear and tear that this year's Woody from Toy Story costume took in one night of trick-or-treating, how you got it to last to the next year is the real little victory of this. These things are so unbelievably cheap. They are really, I'm sure, underpaying the children in the sweatshops in underdeveloped countries that make these. Couldn't they do better? Couldn't they do better? Jen Otero, I hope I said your name right, Jen, wrote to me on Twitter saying, my son came home, dumped his candy out, and said, I need to sort out the candy to give the soldiers. That is a little victory. Well done there, Jen. What a generous child you've raised. Tony, I'm not going to try and say your last name. I'm just going to spare you that. Wrote to me about this at the Daddy on Board. I remember my son was 4, and I took him out for Halloween. Being overprotective, I went through every piece of candy. I threw out half of the candy. So my son looked at his mom and said, Dad is the Halloween Grinch. Tony, I don't know that that's a little victory. I think you were defeated in this one. But I appreciate you dropping off your Halloween memory for me on Twitter. And also from Twitter, last but not least, Jill Thomas. That name sounds very familiar. Maybe you just have one of those names, Jill. You don't have one of those faces because your little avatar thing is just an election button. And I doubt that's what you look like. Anyway, Jill Thomas wrote to me, I use the leftover Halloween candy to decorate gingerbread houses at Christmas time. I want to come over to your place where gingerbread houses are made of Reese's peanut butter cups. Unless you're using like the Mounds or the Almond Joys or the other yuck candies, then I don't want to come over and see your gingerbread house. Thanks to everyone who took time to drop off their little victory for me. I wish that you would continue to do so. I also love when you come to see me in person. Upcoming, you can catch me November 10th. I'm in Chicago, Illinois, where I'm going to be wrestling the mayor of Chicago himself, Mr. Colt Cabana, at the Logan Square Auditorium. There are very few tickets left for this event, so if you're coming to see me at the Logan Square Auditorium, you should get over to chikarapro.com and get your tickets in advance, because there's a real good chance that there won't be any available the day of the event. All of the Chikara Pro events and the places where I appear are family-friendly, so you will not be embarrassed to drag your kids out to see me, like on November 11th when I'm in Cleveland, Ohio at Turner's Hall. November 17th, I compete for Wrestling is Fun, and you can be assured that is the case. I'll be at Allentown's West End Youth Center. Come out and check us out. All kids admitted free to that event. November 18th, Chikara returns to the Big Apple. I'm in New York City for the Cybernetico Rises. Our big annual extravaganza takes place there. And don't miss us December 2nd. It is the 11th season finale of Chikara. It's always a huge blowout, and we close out the year at the Trocadero Theater. It's our big Philly homecoming on Sunday afternoon, December 2nd. I look forward to seeing you any or all of those places, you hard road tripping types. Or, nothing else, in the next few days, I'm going to get together with my pal Clayton Morris, make a Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe podcast. I'll probably get together with Natalie Morris, make another edition of The Trending Show, and then I will return in roughly 7 days with a podcast likely to be titled Daddy on Board 110. That's it for me. Adios, amigos.